Welcome. This is the Pacifica National Board Personnel Committee meeting of October 8th, 2008. I am the chair of the committee, Jack Van Aken. Thank you for listening. Thank you for caring. I'm going to go ahead and call the roll. A.C. Byrd.
Here.
Ifeanyi Nwangaza, I talked to, and she requested an excused absence. Sarv Rundawa, absent. Nia Bediako.
Present.
Evelyn Doc Bethune.
Present.
Margaret Prescott could not make it tonight. Kathy Davis may join us. Kathy's not here. And Jack Van Aken is present. We have quorum, and we can look over the agenda, which I sent out three times, I think, or at least twice. Item one, call to order, roll call. Two, approval of agenda. Number three, this is so important to get this job done, the executive director job description. I'm giving 45 minutes, might be optimistic. And if we get through that and if we have the energy, I'm suggesting we begin a discussion on the issues that surround the incident at KPFA, referred to as the Nadra Foster incident, access to stations. I'm giving that 10 minutes if we get there. I think it's very important to start addressing this as a policy issue. I hope everyone agrees.
And yes,
then
I do.
Set next meeting. Are there any suggested changes to the agenda?
What were the two items again? I'm sorry. You only had two items?
Executive director job description.
Oh.
If you're at your computer, I've circulated the draft where we left it, and I'm giving that 45 minutes, and then issues about access to stations, as we term the policy, this is really the policy issues surrounding the Nadra Foster incident.
Okay.
Okay, if there are no suggested additions, I'll entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, the agenda is approved. ED job description. I sent out a Word document, which has a long title, EDMC, which stands for Multiple Choice, posthouston.doc. Is anybody not at their computer, not able to see it?
I'm trying to get on right now.
Okay. Yeah. We have 45 parts to it. 45.
You figure a minute apart?
Hopefully we won't get hung up on each and every one of them. We'll wait till Evelyn gets the document out.
I may not be able to stay on the whole time because
okay.
We have a conference call going for the campaign, so
yeah.
May have to leave.
And really important if we can get this to the national board ASAP. We may have
okay.
to call the coordinating committee and start scheduling some PMB meetings to deal with special issues.
Mm-hmm.
That are like this is really time sensitive. Issues with the CFO evaluation. Getting hung up there.
Okay, I'm ready to roll.
Okay, you're ready to roll. Okay, we have a title, Pacifica Foundation's job description for ED, executive director, regular full-time, national office, Pacifica Radio, medical, dental, life, disability, upon completion of introductory status. That's a little, I'm not sure that we have an introductory, that we have a... probationary period.
We probably should have.
Yeah. This came up in regard to our GMs locally with Kay, and when Domingo was still around, she said, no, there's no probationary period. So we may want to look into that when we do a hire, establish what that would be, at which point the benefits kick in. But I guess for now, it's all right to leave that. I can probably look at that contract from the prior ED and see if there's anything in it.
about
I would think for the next one, we do at least 90 days.
90 days?
Yeah, I was just about to say, maybe we should recommend something now, Jack.
Yeah.
And I agree with Evelyn. Stole my thoughts again. She's again.
Yeah, 90 days.
That's pretty standard.
Yeah, that's pretty standard. And I think, based on experience I've seen or had, seen and had, 90 days sounds reasonable. Anyone have an objection to recommending a 90-day, should we call it introductory period or probationary period?
What would be the, I'm trying to understand.
All right. So,
I thought it was, generally speaking, 6 months, but I'm not raising an issue on that. I'm just wondering what.
But
he had, the ED had 6 months probation anyway.
Oh, really?
That's what I thought. I mean, I may be wrong on that. I mean,
that's not in this contract.
It's not? Okay,
no.
Well.
I don't think there's any probationary period in there.
Okay.
Okay.
So I guess we would be recommending a 90-day probationary period at the end of which the benefit package would go into effect. Is that what we're thinking?
Yeah.
Or is that holding off?
Well, doesn't that automatically bring it into effect rather than...
Well,
I mean, what if it didn't bring it into effect?
The description that we're basing this on states that benefits medical, dental, life, disability upon completion of introductory status implies that there's a probationary period and that the benefits are, I guess, withheld until that's completed. I don't think this occurred with our last hire, but I don't remember.
I'm almost sure it didn't.
Yeah.
So, it did not.
So maybe we should have a motion from this committee that we recommend that the next ED hire be given a 90-day probationary period, at the completion of which benefits would, what does it do?
Yeah.
So moved.
Recommend for next ED hire, 90-day probationary period. I'll put CF.
What are the conditions for not concluding that for determining this factor? Let's say a person didn't meet some sort of requirement, then what?
Well, say the PMB is less than pleased after 90 days.
Okay.
Then the PMB could hold a meeting and would have, full right to, recommend that the ED, not continue.
Okay.
I imagine. Or be placed on a further probation.
Mm-hmm.
In which case, I guess benefits would continue to be withheld.
Mm.
I think it would, sometimes after that 90-day period, you do a quasi-evaluation and give a satisfactory rating. If the ED is fine, if everything's fine, then the probationary period is over.
Yeah.
If there are adjustments, the body could vote to extend the probationary period based on certain criteria.
Yeah.
For the fulfillment of certain requirements, but you have to lay those out specifically in terms of what they are.
Okay.
Yeah. Did you say a qualified evaluation?
Yes.
Okay.
Because what you're doing, you're going to give final approval to move that person into permanent status, to offer probationary status, and to do that, you have to base it on something.
Yeah.
And that they are, satisfactorily meeting whatever's in their contract.
This is Nina.
If we don't feel they are, then we have to state what that is. It's like when you come in and you sit down and you talk to your supervisor, and they say, well, you're still going to be on probation because we think you need to improve in this area, but you have to tell them what that is and what the expectation is.
Okay, Evelyn, are you through?
Yes.
Okay, Nia?
Yeah, I was just thinking, what could we reasonably expect from someone within 90 days, though?
Well, if that's a rhetorical question, I can jump in. Within 90 days, I think if there are issues, I can think of two examples, issues of temperament, general demeanor that are looking problematic, those come out within a 90-day period. If there are other issues, which I mean, there may be other things that wouldn't be apparent within that time frame. But it's sort of, I think, to protect the organization from sort of hiring somebody that really gives a good interview and then finding out later that they weren't what they, you know, presented themselves to be.
That's
Evelyn, is that jive with what you would think?
Perfectly.
I mean,
the people probably wondered why we're laughing. Oh my God.
Well, it's one of the fundamental facts of human existence. We can be fooled. We want to be fooled. We want to believe things that aren't true. And an interview is a very limited interaction.
Yep.
But some people may be very good at doing interviews. And we're not hiring them to do an interview. We're hiring them to do a job. That's a different matter. Well, anyway, does anyone have a further comment on our motion?
Yes, Jack. So based on your argument, maybe the probationary period should be a year then. And there's a long time to try to fool us.
Basically, I mean, after 90 days, they've been on the job. And they've been interacting with us, with each other, with their coworkers. And, if there's unease and it's not a clear picture after 90 days, the probation can be extended.
Exactly.
I mean, maybe that needs to be worded. We could check with counsel if we have to give ourselves the option to extend the probation.
Yes. I will.
It wouldn't
move
hurt
that.
To be explicit. You know, it wouldn't hurt to be explicit and say we have the right to extend the probation period.
That's correct. Yes. I think I'd like that better. Within 90 days, subject to.
Subject to
board approval or something like that.
Yeah. But I would say subject to, board approval. And then we could work out the actual contractual wording.
Right.
Later, and not try to do it tonight. We won't get there.
Yep.
So, any further comments? I'll read the motion that I've got here. Recommend for next ED hire 90-day probationary period, citing a benefits item in job description, subject to board approval. Is there any objection to the motion? Okay, hearing none, that's approved for the TNB to take up. On with the first item in the job description, position reports to the executive director is selected, supervised, and discharged by and reports to the collective body of the Pacifica National Board Pacifica National Board of Directors, or PNB.
Move to approve.
Okay, any objections? Aye. Number one. Hearing none, one is approved. Now, number two, we have two different versions. They're really based on one word, and it's hiring of national staff or hiring of all national staff. I'll read the text one time, and the word all is either to be included or excluded. And we can also, you know, if there's something that people want to amend, we can certainly do that. Definition, the executive director, ED, is the president of the Pacifica Foundation, general manager, chief executive officer, and chief administrator, and is responsible for management activities of the foundation, including hiring of station managers of the five sister stations and all national staff, with the exception of the chief financial officer, or CFO, implementation of board policies and bylaws, and oversight of fundraising, development, national programming, financial stability, physical integrity, and compliance with CPB and FCC rules and regulations. Do we have an issue here with all national staff, which I assume is the question of whether that includes the finance staff or not? Does anyone have an opinion on this?
This is Nia.
Nia, go ahead.
The bylaws, why not just put the bylaws language right in there?
Put the bylaws language in there?
Yeah, but I can't find mine now.
Bylaws
language doesn't say all national staff.
It doesn't say all national staff?
Is B the, B may be the bylaws.
I can't hear you, F.
I said B may be the bylaws language.
Okay.
I'm not sure. But right,
I'll get it here. Executive director. No, it doesn't say anything about hiring.
Okay.
No, it's not from the bylaws.
But the definition or the responsibilities of something like that of the executive director.
Well, I can read it. It's not long. The president of the foundation shall be referred to as the executive director. The executive director shall be the general manager, chief executive officer, and chief administrator of the foundation. He shall be selected, supervised, and discharged by the board. In addition, his or her performance will also be subject to annual evaluation by each LSB, which may make recommendations to the board. Subject to the control of the board, the executive director shall have general supervision, direction, and control of the business and the officers of the foundation, and the primary responsibility for implementing the directives, decisions, and policies of the foundation and the board pertaining to administration, personnel, programming, financing, and public relations. The executive director shall generally promote, coordinate, and supervise the mission of the foundation and shall have such powers and perform such duties as may be delegated or assigned to him or her by the board.
I think that's it.
Yeah. I don't see any particular need for the word all.
Nope.
Including hiring of station managers of the five sister stations and national staff, with the exception of the chief financial officer. I don't see any ambiguity there or any need to make it more explicit.
I think that's it. Even without the word all, I would think that it would mean national staff, whoever that is, except the CFO.
Right.
Well, I have a problem with that.
Okay, AC.
I don't think that if the CFO has been mandated by the board, and that's in the bylaws, to carry out functions relating to finances and so forth, I don't see how you could have the, and I think this is the old argument that we had before, the ED to preside over the CFO's staff. I mean, you know, that's a very serious conflict.
Hi, who joined us? Hi, Kathy.
Sorry, I had to pitch for a few, little while. I'm here now.
Okay, great. Yeah, I'm not sure we want to reopen this
right, because that really means that that sets up a conflict right there.
This is Nia.
Nia.
That's why if we use the bylaws language, then we're okay.
Yeah.
What is bylaw language?
You want to read it again for AC, Jack?
It doesn't. Yeah, the bylaws don't say anything about hiring, specifically under the the item Article 9, Section 7, Executive Director. It doesn't use the word hiring. We know that the ED hires the station managers. There's nothing in the bylaws about the ED hiring national staff, whether all national staff or just national staff. I mean, if we're going to get hung up on this, I mean, maybe we should just strike national staff.
This is Kathy. I'd like to be on the staff.
Okay. AC, if you're through.
The point is I would like to keep it as close to the bylaws as we can get it, because, you know, this fight that we had in the board about, you know, the...
AC, we're on a live stream.
Yeah, I know. This fight, I said this, we're on a live stream, but we're talking about issues that came up that was very contentious, and I think we should just, whatever the language is in the bylaw, use that. If we want to modify that at some later point, we can, but right now it should stick with the bylaw language.
Okay. Kathy? After you. Go ahead, Kathy.
Yeah, I'm just picking up with the conversation. It seems that you're speaking of eliminating that the executive director hires the national staff.
Well, I just threw that in there just because I was worried we were going to spend, you know, a lot of time debating it.
Right.
The question really that's before us was a choice between the wording that goes, including hiring of station managers of the five sister stations and all national staff with the exception of the CFO, or to exclude the word all from national staff, including hiring of station managers of the five sister stations and national staff with the exception of the CFO. Kathy, is that...
Okay, I would have no objection from eliminating the word all, but I would object to eliminating national staff, because I don't know who else would do the hiring.
Right. Doc?
I presume that the CFO might want, at some point, want to hire whomever is working under their purview.
Yeah, I think that's the question, that since the CFO has a unique reporting structure, vis-a-vis the P&B and the ED, the question is whether this implies that all of the finance staff would be hired by the ED, or whether this would allow the CFO to hire national staff independently.
Mm-hmm. But, Doc,
I get on the back.
May I follow up? My question is, though, that wouldn't necessarily give the chief financial officer absolute hiring of their own staff. They would still have to consult with the executive director? Or would that completely separate it?
Yeah, the reporting structure, which was agreed to, approved by the board in Houston, states that all Pacifica staff, that the national finance staff works under the direction of the CFO. All Pacifica staff, including the CFO and other national finance staff, shall report to the ED, but the CFO-P&B reporting relationship shall be kept intact.
Okay.
So that's the basis upon which we can construct whatever language here we need to accurately reflect what we want. So...
Okay.
Yeah. If you're through, I'll call on Doc.
I'm done.
Okay, thanks. Doc, go ahead.
I don't think that, because we're not saying that the ED will be the manager for any of that staff. We're only saying that whoever it is has the position of hiring national staff. And whatever department they're in, they would still be managed by whoever's over that department. I would think that in the hiring of staff for any department, the person doing the hiring would work with their managers or their counterparts, the CFO or whoever, before putting someone in that position. That's pretty standard, where people go through tiers of interviews and then a decision is made. And at the top level, the ED is the executive director. I mean, that they have the ultimate decision for national staff
mm-hmm.
and responsibility, no matter who it is.
I
don't think that we're taking away the responsibilities of management in terms of the day-to-day operations or interactions with their staff. We're just saying in there that the ED is the person who will be hiring the national staff. I think we can take the word all out, but I don't want to do away with the entire paragraph.
Right, and I'm going to call on myself before I call on AC. Yeah, what Doc is saying, I mean, I fully concur with that, because the finance staff is, you know, a department unto itself, it would seem really bad form for an executive director to hire national staff without conferring with the CFO, so I'm not sure that we should assume bad faith or that something, you know, so is going to go so far awry that we have to write national staff out of this job description. AC, did you have a comment?
Yeah, I mean, the statement that you read vis-a-vis Houston seems to me to be the appropriate statement. I think that there's no doubt that that has been a source of a problem, because I can't imagine the CFO selecting the expertise that he or she needs on their staff, and that the hiring of it would be done by the ED when the ED, when the CFO has a responsibility to the board. And I think you indicated that nothing would change in his reporting relationship to the board. But I mean, rather than to get into finite details, you can see that if you had another person to say, I don't like that person there, that would mean that the ED would be taking the responsibility of the CFO and making that determination. That presumably they would know exactly who they needed and what they needed. And I think that could be a problem. So I would guess that the problem of the language used in Texas seems to me to be the at least an appropriate language that wouldn't violate that the CFO's role as it relates to his reporting to the board. I think otherwise you get into the question of giving someone the authority, or at least they could interpret it. The authority is saying that I can hire whatever staff you need, and I already know what that requires. That's just not true. Otherwise, you wouldn't need a CFO.
This is Kathy. I'd like to be on the stack again.
Oh, okay, Kathy. And did I hear Evelyn?
No, that was Nia, Jack, before
oh,
Kathy.
Nia. Okay, I'm going to call on Kathy, and then Nia's next. Kathy, go ahead.
I actually believe that the CFO has to have the final decision on the national staff. I mean, even with the station managers, the pool might be chosen from the LSBs or the staff or the management, but there has to be one person who makes the final decision, and it would have to might include, background checks and all other aspects of hiring that wouldn't be under the purview of the CFO. I think it would be a big mistake to take that responsibility from the ED. That's what we're hiring the ED for.
The ED is dedicated.
Please, AC, just let her finish, and I'll put you after Nia.
I'm just saying that it's, you know, because, there's all kinds of things that have to happen in the hire of a staff. And while the CFO can recommend candidates, I would imagine, it still would be up to the ED to choose from those candidates. and we wouldn't want a situation where the CFO or any other kind of management level would be able to just appoint anybody that they want into a position, because they still have to work with the whole organization. So I feel that that responsibility lies with the ED, not with the CFO.
Okay, Kathy, if you're through, I'll call on Nia.
I am.
Yeah, Nia, go ahead.
Call the question, and I move to approve B up to regulation.
Well, I had a final statement that I wanted to make.
AC, go ahead.
Yeah, what I wanted to respond to Kathy is by saying, since there was a CFO hired, the ED has never had that responsibility of hiring the staff of the CFO. That has never been in there. This is something that emerged recently. And so it's not so that I'm not suggesting that the ED wouldn't have some role to play in that, but whether or not they would have the absolute authority over that would presume that that ED knows just as much about the job as a CFO, and that would contradict the reason we wanted an independent CFO in the very beginning. Don't forget that we passed that law that the CFO would be reporting directly to the board. There was a reason for that. And so I would have to disagree that and I think we would be in violation of that rule by taking that away.
Okay.
Maybe if you had language that related to some sort of consultation or whatever, this has been the rule. It has never been any different from that. So.
Okay. AC, if you're through, is there any objection going to a vote?
I guess if you can clarify what we're voting on.
Yeah. If you have the job description draft before you, Kathy, do you have it?
I do, yes.
Okay, it's 2B. So the motion is to approve 2B through the word regulations. So it includes national staff, the hiring of national staff, but it does not say all national staff. It just says includes hiring of station managers of the five sister stations and national staff with the exception of the CFO.
Okay. All right.
All right. I will call the roll. Nia.
Yes.
Doc.
Yes.
AC.
No.
Kathy.
Yes.
Okay, the motion carries 3-1. So 2B is approved. In this draft, I added the language from the Houston resolution. This was Dominguez's suggestion. To me, it doesn't really flow very well with the job description format. You see it in boldface there. So I'm wondering if we voted to take this out of the CFO job description altogether. I wonder if there's any feeling about whether to keep this in or out.
I move to strike.
Move to strike?
I object.
You object? Okay,
mm-hmm.
Kathy?
What are you moving out?
Okay, this is the resolution from Houston on the reporting structure that I just read about 3 minutes ago about the reporting structure of the CFO and the ED and the PNB, which states that the national finance staff works under the direction of the CFO, et cetera, and ends with the CFO.
Sorry, this is Nia.
Yeah, Nia, go ahead.
I will withdraw if we're saying at the top that the national finance staff works under the direction of the CFO. That's implied in B, correct? Well, it would be in the CFO's job description.
It would be in the. I could check, see if it's in the draft. It's maybe in the bylaws. Not sure.
This is Kathy. I have a question, if I may.
Yeah, sure, Kathy. Go ahead.
So, isn't it that this statement reflects a motion that was passed
that,
by the PMB?
It is the motion that was passed, yeah.
Okay. So the fact that it doesn't flow is not as important as keeping consistent with the motion that was passed?
Yeah.
I believe that it should be kept in, most definitely.
Okay. All right, AC, you had, let me see. So AC and Kathy, you both feel it should be kept in. Nia, have you had any change of feeling about this?
Yes, I do.
Trying to get a sense of the body here.
Yes, I think the National Finance staff works under the direction of CFO, that should be kept. But then now we're back to that all Pacifica staff, including the CFO and other national staff, shall report to the ED. I move to strike that one.
Uh-huh.
I object.
Well, we're not voting on the motion. It's just a question. I mean, this is in effect whether it's in the job description or not. It's not going to change anything whether it's in it or not, but I guess it's whether we need to make it explicit in the job description. What has already been decided. So, I mean, for example, since it's in the form of a motion, if we struck the word shall, then it would read, all Pacifica staff, including the CFO and other national finance staff, report to the ED. But the CFO, PMB reporting relationship.
Except the CFO.
Doc, I'm sorry, what did you say?
I said I think that should read except for the CFO.
With that's the Kathy on the set.
Okay, Kathy, go ahead.
Well, I disagree. It can't say except the CFO. That would be not be consistent with the motion that was passed.
I know, I'm sorry. I was mistaken. I was reading it differently.
Yeah.
Once I read the whole thing, I got it again.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
All right.
It could be something like all Pacifica staff, including the CFO and other national finance staff, report to the ED, period. The CFO reports, but the CFO also reports to the PMB.
Okay, this is Kathy. I have a question, if I may. If it's my turn.
Yeah.
Doesn't the ED also report to the PMB?
Absolutely.
So could we adjust it to say both the CFO and the ED report to the PMB so that it would be clear that to the person who's applying for this job that both they and the CFO report to the PMB?
Yeah, both the CFO and the ED report to the PMB.
Yeah, and that way we keep it clear.
Yeah, that works for me. So then what we would have would be the national finance staff works under the direction of the CFO. All Pacifica staff, including the CFO and other national finance staff, report to the ED, but the CFO and the ED, both the CFO and the ED report to the PMB.
Yeah,
that makes it very clear, whereas the motion language isn't clear outside of the context of, you know, board business.
Well, the can I come on now?
Okay, AC, go ahead.
Well, I think you have put the language, that is, you said that it's true that the ED as well as the CFO reports to the PNB. But it's also true the Cole is required to report. Well, both of them are. Report to that. I mean, you have it like in the first instance, they report to the ED, and then in the second instance, they both report to that. I think that needs to be reversed. You know, it's just that they, because the CFO is required reporting to this, to the board. And I want to recognize and respect that independence that's there, that we put there. And that doesn't take away from anything that's said. I just think it has, the sign almost is that they report to the ED first and then to the board, and that is not the case. They report to the board first.
The national staff
reports
to the ED.
I'm not sure that that's clear, AC. All that I know is that the CFO reports to the board and that the CFO reports to the ED.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that's I have no problem with that part.
I don't know that one.
What I have a problem with is that it appears in the language that he's required to report to the ED first. Now, you said to report to the ED, and then you mentioned reporting to the board.
It could be worded like this. The National Finance staff works under the direction of the CFO, who reports to the board, you know, and the ED, or I don't know what difference it makes.
Well, it makes a lot of difference. I'm not saying that the finance staff, I don't know if they ever had to report to the board, but I do know that the CFO has to report to the board.
Yeah.
And so my thing is that I think you should emphasize the fact that CFO's responsibility to report to the board. As well, if you want to include that, if you want to make that both the CFO and the ED, that's fine with me.
But I don't care which.
Only thing is, I don't want the language to appear to say that it has to report to the ED first. It's obligated to report to the board. The board is the one that hires the CFO.
Okay, let's see if someone has a solution. Was that Evelyn?
Doc also.
And
Kathy. Nia.
All right, I'm going to call on Doc and then Nia and then Kathy. Doc?
On the day-to-day responsibilities, the CFO, the reason that it was put in there in Houston was to bring some clarity to what appeared to be not clear in terms of reporting on the day-to-day. And that was that the CFO would report to the ED. And that didn't take away the fact that the board, of course, has the final on everything. It doesn't matter who it is. And the CFO's evaluation and reporting is still to the PNB, but he or she also has a responsibility to report to the ED. And the ED and CFO on day-to-day basis will not be running to the board for every little single thing that they do. And that was part of the reason for trying to put some clarity to it, to establish the working relationship.
Okay.
Well, I know that you had...
Wait, AC, if you can hold off, I'll put you on the stack after Kathy. Doc, if you're through, I'll call on Nia. Nia, go ahead.
Yeah, I know we have 45 minutes on this only, and what we're doing here is that if we want to not do this, to have this here, any place, we have to vote to rescind this. But right now, we have no choice.
Right.
So it's either we put it in or we take it out, or at the next meeting, somebody gives notice to rescind this, but we don't have a choice in this.
Yeah, this has already been decided by the PNB. Nia, if you're through, I'll call on Kathy.
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay, Kathy, go ahead.
What I was going to suggest, you know how you have the first sentence set apart? I was going to suggest this third part, both the CFO and the ED, be separated into a sentence that's set apart as the third sentence.
Yeah.
And maybe we could say both the CFO and the ED report independently to the PNB.
A point of order, Chair.
Okay, Nia, what's your point of order?
We cannot amend this unless we get it rescinded.
No, no, wait. I don't.
You're not amending anything.
I would say your point is not well taken because we're really not changing anything substantive. We're just making it clear for somebody who's, you know, walking in off the street who hasn't been through our bylaws-related debates and, you know, doesn't know. We're just trying to communicate what the board has already decided and what's in the bylaws. So we're just trying to say that the CFO, I mean, it's a fact. The CFO and ED both report independently to the PNB. We're not adding anything in terms of policy by stating that they report independently because I think they do. Unless I'm missing something.
Maybe because I was there and I know exactly what this means, that the CFO reports to the board right after the hyphen. PNB reporting relationship shall be kept intact unless we want to put C, bylaw section, so-and-so.
Right. So both the CFO and the ED report independently to the PNB. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, that's, I mean, I understand it from that. But if you want to, if you want to further define it, then you know.
I'm sorry, Nia. I just don't understand your objection.
I'm saying I understand the way it's written now. But if you think that it should be further defined, then I could go along with that. But I just think that to me, it's pretty clear here.
Yeah, I think you know that the person we're hiring needs to understand what their relationship is. To the CFO, that the CFO reports to the ED, but the CFO reports independently to the PNB. It's just a matter of communicating that structure.
Right.
Yeah.
I just wanted to be mindful of the time.
Okay. Kathy, did I call on you?
You know, that was my comment. You know, that it'd be separated and just say that they report independently.
Yeah, I think that word occurred to me earlier. AC, do you have a comment?
No, I can buy that.
Okay. So what we'll have then is the National Finance staff works under the direction of the CFO. All Pacifica staff, including the CFO and other National Finance staff, report to the ED, and then separately, both the CFO and the ED report independently to the PNB.
No, Let me raise a question.
Yeah.
I don't think that the resolution we passed in Texas said that the staff reported to the ED. I thought it says that the CFO reports to the ED.
No, the wording of the motion is all Pacifica staff, including the CFO and other national finance staff, shall report to the ED. But the CFO PNB reporting relationship shall be kept intact. So that's settled.
Yeah. What do you think that means? The CFO is to be kept intact, but at the same time, this new relationship exists. You got to remember that this is not in the bylaws at all about the question about reporting to the staff, and I just like. Maybe you or somebody else on this board could explain this contradiction. This seems to be
a
contradiction.
I have to respectfully urge us not to try to reopen this question now. That's why we brought it to the PNB so we could get, you know.
No, I'm not trying to reopen it. I'm just saying the law there. I mean, well, I can live with the language that you do have, so that's okay.
Yeah. Okay, fine.
You both independently report.
You don't object? I hope.
Well, I do object, but I'm going to go along with this because I think there's a flaw there, a contradiction there.
Okay.
But on the other hand, I will vote for it.
Did I hear someone asking to be recognized? No? Okay. So the wording is the National Finance staff works under the direction of the CFO. All Pacifica staff, including the CFO and other National Finance staff, report to the ED. Both the CFO and the ED report independently to the PNB. Is there any objection to that language?
Amen.
Okay. interesting email from people that are listening.
What are they saying?
You don't want to know.
Okay.
We'll find out later. The ED ensures that the foundation operates in a fiscally and socially responsible fashion, in compliance both with state and federal laws, and with the mission of the foundation to operate radio outlets that encourage the creative skills and energies of the community, contribute to a lasting understanding between nations and individuals of all nations, races, creeds, and colors, gather and disseminate information on the causes of conflict between such groups, promote the study of political and economic problems and of the causes of religious, philosophical, and racial antagonisms, and employ varied sources in the public presentation of accurate, comprehensive news on all matters affecting the community. Any comment on number three?
Move to accept.
Is that the charter provisions that was inserted in there?
It sounds like some of it's from the mission.
Sounds like the charter. That's what I was asking.
Yeah. Seems like either verbatim from the mission statement or interpretively from the mission statement.
Yeah, I support it then.
Okay. Is there any objection to number three or any further discussion? Okay, hearing none, number three is approved. Responsibilities and duties. Now, we have a suggestion for under general administration that we had something about fundraising, which isn't really present in this job description except in the phrase oversight of fundraising. Should we go ahead and start with number four, A and B, and then... whenever somebody feels like putting fundraising into this, let me know.
Well, I think that there, you know, that any head of any organization, one of their chief responsibilities ought to be to fundraise.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how you want to word that, but it should be involved, even if it's a very curt sort of thing. I don't think that a ED should come in assuming that they don't have the responsibility to fundraise.
Okay, well, Nia, go ahead.
I would move that should be number four.
Number four.
Yes.
Okay. Fundraising.
This is Doc.
Yeah, Doc.
We might want to think about... what level of fundraising we're talking about, so that we don't get bogged down or start to evaluate that, okay, the ED was not on the phone or, you know, doing pitching on every station, because the ED also has a great deal of responsibilities across five stations. And I think that if they're going to do fundraising, should be on a high end where they're trying to bring in major donors.
Yeah.
Not, you know, getting caught up in trying to get on the air and pitch at every single station at every fund drive. If they can do it, fine. But when we start putting that in a job description, then that's something that we are going to be evaluating that person on. So,
this is Kathy.
What exactly that entails.
Okay, Evelyn, if you're
and
through.
And Nia.
All right. I'll call on Kathy, and I have Nia after Kathy. Kathy, go ahead.
It seems to me, though, that what the ED would need to do with regard to fundraising would be to have oversight, so that if a station, such as the case has been with certain stations, that they would be in a position to intercede if necessary, you know. So it may just be a question of having them understand that they have to have oversight of what's happening at the stations and to be able to, you know, consult with their general managers about fundraising.
I'll just interject. I think the idea that we're grappling with is that the ED would be personally involved in fundraising. aside from the fund drive.
Right.
Yes.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. So, anyway, if you're through, Kathy, I'll call on Nia. Nia, go ahead.
Yes. When I put that out there on the email, that's what I meant. It was grant writing, to be specific.
Cool.
Not getting on the air and doing an Amy thing, but definitely grant writing.
That's a really good idea.
So it could be something like, because I'm trying to write something, responsible for fundraising, such as grant writing, major donor.
The major donor event.
Events.
Yes. That's what I had in mind, yeah.
Oh, this is Kathy on the stack, please.
Okay, I'll put you back on after AC, Kathy. Okay. Nia, if you're through, AC, go ahead.
Yep, I'm brief.
The two things that Nia mentioned was very important, major donor events and other high donor activities, because that's very, very important for, I don't know of an organization that exists in the nonprofit world where the president of the ED doesn't have some responsibility to seek to raise funds for the organization. So I'm in support of this, and I just hope that we word it where that becomes a part of the ED job.
Oh, okay. AC, if you're through? Okay, great. Kathy?
I just wanted to point out that this kind of work is really development work, and a person with the skills of ED, while they would have to do some of that, it's really a skill unto itself. So, I mean, I would like to see it worded in such that the ED is responsible for development, in the sense that maybe that might be getting a consultant or forming the staff, you know, finding around the network who's development. But to me, it seems to me that when development is being handled by people who don't understand development, it can be very disastrous. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important to put that they're responsible for the development, but not necessarily that they would do it themselves.
So you would suggest something like responsible for development, including oversight of fundraising?
Yeah, because it seems like it seems then that we would be sort of potluck fundraising,
yeah,
without a real development person.
Yeah, I see your point. So we could word it. Now, please chime in if anyone objects, because we're changing it from responsible for fundraising to responsible for development, including oversight of fundraising.
Well, may I raise a question?
Okay, sure.
The question I would raise, I go back to Nier's suggestion, because there are events in which there are high donors. For example, the event that we held in D.C., the ED could not attend for other compelling reasons that she had with family, but they were planning to be involved in a more direct way. So as a result, Dan and who was the acting ED at the time, I think, Dan and Lonnie did attend, and also Brian from L.A. So it was a high sort of profile presence there of them, and you know, and the people wanted to want to talk with the people, wanted to know who those people were who was involved in this high donor thing. So